every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. Psalm 50, 10, and 11. Hi, I'm Rob West. That passage and many others in the Bible remind us that God owns everything and we're only stewards of what He gives us, and that only for a time. But is there a deeper meaning in these verses? We'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Now, to be sure, the message that God owns everything and we don't is something we need to hear over and over again. That's probably why the Bible repeats this teaching several times. Job needed reminding. Job 38:1-5 reads, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know.'" And Psalm 24:1-2 tells us, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." And of course, Colossians 1:16 reads, "For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." This is a message that we need to hear all the time. It frees us from getting too attached to our money and possessions because they're not our money and possessions. They belong to God. You may have heard the story about the believer who really took this to heart. He'd saved and saved to buy a new car, but soon after taking possession, he got into a fender bender. But he didn't get that upset. He just shrugged it off and thought, "I wonder why God wanted his car to get in that accident." Now, that would certainly be difficult to do, but it makes things a lot easier if you think of yourself only as a steward and not an owner. Okay, we've got stewardship covered, but what about that deeper meaning in these verses? For that, we need to consider the larger passage of Psalm 50, verses 10 through 15. "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves on the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." The psalmist is really warning Israel that they've become too legalistic with their sacrifices. They had come to put value on the actual sacrifices and, by extension, themselves. God already owns the beasts of the forest and the cattle on a thousand hills. Indeed, all the cattle on all the hills. He owns all creatures, wild and tamed, the fowl in the mountains and the beasts of the fields. That said, how could he possibly be impressed with the burnt offerings of the Israelites? They were just giving him back a tiny bit of what he already owned, and then patting themselves on the back for it. Nonetheless, God did require Israel to make those sacrifices to temporarily cover sin, but also something else. Note verse 14 again. "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High." This verse gives us the context we need to put things in perspective. That passage and others like it are really about giving and the attitude of our hearts. They're not about legalism and checking boxes. Galatians 2:16 reads, "We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. By works of the law, no one will be justified." When we give purely out of gratitude, expecting nothing and taking no pride in it, and certainly not to earn our way into heaven, only then are we giving Him the loyalty of our hearts. God is a spiritual being. What use does He have for earthly things? Well, none, of course. He wants our hearts. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Our tithing and gifts must only be tributes of our gratitude for what He has already given us, not just material things, but the priceless gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, for our eternal salvation. We must search our hearts to make sure we give for the right reason, because He is God Most High. He sees right through us and takes no pleasure in giving that isn't joyful and done out of gratitude. All right, your calls are next. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Kids from military families call an average of 6 to 9 different places home during the course of their childhood. That's a lot of new addresses and phone numbers to remember. And after a move, it's common to forget your new address and write down the old one out of habit. And it's something we tend to do as Christians too, spiritually. We tend to forget that we've been given a new home, a change of address to the kingdom of heaven, even while we're still living here. And we need reminders, like these words of Jesus. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Start receiving your Anchor devotional in print monthly at anchortoday.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and I'm ready to go. It's been a great weekend. We start a new week here today, and we're ready to dive into your questions today on anything financial. That means whatever you're thinking about in your financial life, whether it's related to your lifestyle, which now staying on budget is more challenging than ever. We get that. We got some new inflation data last week that indicates inflation's not going away. In fact, it's going the wrong direction. One of the key measures of inflation actually came in hotter than was expected on the heels of GDP overall growth here in the United States, economically speaking, down below expectations. That means the economy's slowing, inflation is proving to be sticky and even climbing. Not a great situation. You're feeling that every day when you spend on things like your insurance premium for your car and at the grocery store and a whole host of other items that you're buying that are more expensive. Well, that just makes it challenging to stay on budget. We'd love to talk to you about ways you can do that. Perhaps it's your giving area. You want to be a wise giver, and maybe it's a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Maybe it's a qualified charitable distribution, getting money out of your IRA without adding it to your taxable income and giving it to a charity that you love, that's on your heart. We can talk about that, or even just planning to give. You know, we're never going to give at a maximum level without a plan. Yes, we need to have spontaneous giving. I love that. Yes, we should give systematically off of our increase. But what about planning to give out of assets, going beyond the cash portion of our financial lives? What does that look like? Well, we can talk about that today as well. What about debt repayment? You know, that's a big issue that God's Word speaks about. We're not to co-sign. We should prioritize getting out of debt. We absolutely should repay what we've borrowed. Remember, the Bible says the wicked borrows and does not repay. So how do we handle debt? Are there productive uses of debt? And what are the strategies to get out of consumer debt in particular, those high-interest credit cards, even a car loan? What does that look like? And then finally, your savings, that grow portion of your finances. We talk often about having an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months' expenses. That's what you fall back on when the unexpected comes, and it will. We also talk about long-term savings, the power of compounding, not fast and flashy, not trying to get rich quick. The Bible speaks against that. But more of that sure and steady, steady plodding approach. Those are the words you'll see in God's Word, steady plodding. Remember the tortoise won the race, not the hare, and that's kind of the same idea in investing. Well, how do we apply all of those big ideas to your financial life? Well, we do that when you call 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. We've got lines open. We're ready for your call right now. We'll get to those calls in just a moment. Again, 800-525-7000. In the news today, a surprisingly new home sales are up. That despite continuing high mortgage rates. Last week, we reported on how the median sales price for all homes reached a record high of $383,725. And you'd think that would keep the number of sales down, but that's not the case, at least with new home purchases. The Census Bureau is reporting that just under 700,000 new single-family homes were sold in March. That's an 8.3% jump from a year ago. The median sale price, again, for new homes only was $430,700. Now, that's in sharp contrast to sales of previously owned homes, which dropped 3.7% from March a year ago. Why the difference? Well, analysts say it's because in the inventory of new homes, the new homes is higher and developers are offering more incentive to buyers. So you've got these brand new homes, the developers looking to move them. They've got a lot invested, so they're attaching incentives, and we've got a buildup of inventory. So if you're looking to purchase a home this summer, pay particular attention to new construction. You may find more value there. You may find also a greater selection than there is in the general real estate market, where inventories continue to be narrow, which is in part keeping these home prices up. Remember the rules of thumb we talk about often on this program related to buying a home, and this is more important now than ever because we don't want you to get too stretched in the housing category, which is going to just rob you of having money available for everything else in your financial life. Remember those big three budget busters? Housing is number one, transportation number two, number three, food. Those tend to be the ones that can get out of line quickly. Of course, food, one that you can deal with on a quicker basis. Housing and transportation, often you're locked in with loans. They're a little more difficult and more expensive to sell in order to cut expenses there. But with regard to housing in particular, make sure you're only spending up to 28% of your take-home pay for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. You can put another 5% on top of that for the other housing-related expenses, so home maintenance and utilities, all of the things that it keeps that it requires to keep your home operating. So that puts you, for the entire housing category, ideally at no more than 33% of your take-home pay, which is going to leave 67% for everything else, and that will go quickly. The key, of course, is to be able to pay all of the housing expenses and everything else that you've got in your monthly budget and then still have some margin. That's going to be essential to you being able to fund those longer-term goals. So 28% principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, another 5% for everything else. Another key would be making sure you're putting 20% down. Now, that's going to give you some equity going in. It's going to help you to ensure that you don't pick up that private mortgage insurance, which kicks in at loan to values where you have debt less there, you have equity less than 20%. That's about 1% of the mortgage, and it doesn't do anything for you. It's purely to protect the lender. That's an unnecessary expense. We need to shed as many of those as possible. And now, especially in light of what we have going on with inflation. So hopefully those gives you some guidelines to consider as you're thinking about a home purchase. The key is just don't determine your budget as you shop. Go ahead and decide in advance. Here's the max we can spend on the home because of the money we have available for the down payment, because what we know we can afford or not afford with regard to our mortgage payment. And then don't allow, a lack of inventory to cause you to stretch to buy a home you actually can't afford. That's going to put you in a difficult position moving forward. I'd rather you wait. Especially now with, the likelihood that we're heading into a recession, the fact that interest rates will be coming down, it may be a season where you say, I'm going to give it a year or two and continue to save. All of those things, never a bad idea. So hopefully that's helpful to you as you think about this most important area and most expensive area of our budget called housing. So often this is the one that just gets that budget out of line. And so we need to be really thoughtful about how we enter the housing market, especially if you are a new home buyer. All right, folks, we're just getting warmed up here today. We're going to be taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. Let me mention the number, because after this break, we will be diving into those financial questions that you have today, and we can only do that when you call. So here it is. I've got lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Let me also mention, as a listener-supported ministry, it's so important that we hear from you. If you've found some value in this program and you'd like to support our work, you can do that right now at faithfi.com. Just click Give. By the way, a gift of $25 or more is our thank you. We'll send you our brand new 4-week study, Rich Toward God, which I know you'll enjoy. Faithfi.com. Just click Give. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. The lines are filling. Looks like we have one line open at the moment. That number to call, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Stan. You'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, we've got a custodial traditional IRA inherited from my wife's dad. And there's around $100,000 in that. And we've been taking the RMDs since he passed. And now that we've been told we got to have this thing liquidated by sometime next year. Mm. So that means we'd have to take the $50,000 or take the whole $100,000 out and I guess pay taxes on that. And I was just wondering if there's another option besides just, because we don't really need this money. It's just money that, like I said, we've been taking the RMDs and we don't use it to live on. And, you know, we've got $70,000 in our, you know, rainy day fund and money in the bank. And we're retired and we'd get about $6,000 a month and we live on that, and we don't really need this money today. It's just a savings.
Yeah. Let me ask, did the account holder pass away in 2020 or after?
It was before 2020.
Okay. Yeah, so the rules changed in 2020 where we moved to the 10-year distribution rule where it has to be zero. The account for a non-spouse beneficiary has to be zero by December 31st of the 10th anniversary of the owner's death. Prior to that, this does get a little complicated, so I'd rely on your CPA to help you, you know, think through this. But prior to that, we were in a situation where often the distributions were based on your own life expectancy, which would allow you to stretch it out over your own life expectancy for a non-spouse beneficiary, again, prior to 2020, where everything changed. So you could, take it out over your own life expectancy, or you could follow the five-year rule on that as well. But, you know, there are a couple of options there. And so I think that's where, you know, you need to check with your CPA. Who's advising you on this and who said that it has to be out by next year?
Well, we just got a letter it's with Wells Fargo. And we got a letter from them.
10 years.
That the 10 years was up.
Oh, okay.
Next year.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay, and that's where, you know, I think I would check with your CPA, because just because Wells Fargo is saying that doesn't mean it's necessarily the case. You know, the 10-year rule is for, as I said, you know, based on the SECURE Act, to the current law on the books, is related to a 10-year distribution, but that's where the death of the account holder occurred in 2020 or later. So you're, you know, talking about a death that occurred prior to that, and therefore you've got other options, and that may just not be noted correctly in their system. So do you normally prepare your own return, or do you have a relationship with a CPA?
No, we talked to the CPA, and he suggested we just kind of decide what to do actually after November of this year, if you get my drift there. He may not have been aware of when this was prior to 2020, the death. So okay. I guess we could just visit with him some more about that.
I think you need to, and I think you just need to make it clear. Listen, this is a non-spouse inherited IRA, and as a non-spouse beneficiary, if the death occurred prior to 2020, then you've got a couple of options, and one of those options typically, and again, he's going to need to advise you in your specific case, but typically one of those options is you could take distributions based on your own life expectancy. So whoever was the beneficiary that inherited this, I assume that was your wife, then potentially you could spread this out over her life expectancy and the IRS would publish that table. But I think this is worth digging into a bit more, Stan, and you need a tax professional to do that. You don't need to go based on, you know, my advice, because somebody needs to get in there and look at the actual code based on your situation and your account and help you decipher, first of all, what distribution method are you taking and what options do you have, and then based on that method, how do you ensure that you stay on track with those distributions so the IRS can't ever question the amount coming out, and so you get to the right landing point where, you know, the account has been completely distributed by a certain date. But if you take the life expectancy method and that's available to you, again, you could stretch that out over her life expectancy and that would go back to the table from the IRS. So I would take a little bit more look at this and I'd go back to your CPA and just ask him or her to explain your options based on when the date of death occurred. Stan, we appreciate your call today, sir. May the Lord bless you and your wife. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Jackie. How can I help?
I'm good. What I was wondering, I was trying to set up a trust, and I was wondering, what do I look for as far as pricing a trust? Is it a certain fee, or do I look at something different from that?
So if you have an attorney do this, and of course you'll see a lot of advertisements on television that you can use an online resource to draw up a will or a trust, I would prefer you use an attorney just to make sure that it's done properly according to the laws of your state. And, you know, if you have a godly estate planning attorney, they can ask you other questions just to help you think through kind of the wealth transfer decisions, including is the next steward chosen and prepared? And that goes beyond the financial capital. But in terms of your specific question, yeah, once you find an attorney to do this, it's just going to be, you know, a fee that you'll pay. It's typically going to be around $2,000 for a fairly simple trust without a lot of extenuating circumstances or conditions. So it really is fee-based, and you certainly could shop around and talk to a couple of different attorneys, find someone that you feel like you have a good rapport with, and obviously you can ask them what the fee would be. But expect to spend somewhere between $2,000, $3,000 on the high end. Jackie, thanks for your call. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. Then the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio. We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/get certified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Looks like all the lines are full. If you get a busy signal, we'd love for you to try back. We'll get to as many calls as we can on the broadcast today. Before the break, we were talking to Jackie in Mississippi specifically about drawing up a trust. Jackie, I know you had a second part of your question. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, what? I keep getting a letter from Funeral Advantage Program Aid for Seniors. I don't have any burial insurance, and this is what this is. Up to $20,000 tax-free, and I don't know if there's anything legit to it or if this is a real program. But
yeah. It is a real program. I mean, burial insurance is a thing. It's just where, you have a policy specifically to cover the cost of burial and funeral-related expenses. In my view, you don't need to purchase funeral insurance. Just set aside enough money to pay for the funeral you'd like to have. You could pre-plan where you've made the decisions in advance. And as long as you have the assets earmarked, for your family members, especially if you have an account with a beneficiary on it, so they'd have immediate access to it outside of probate, I think, then you should be covered and you wouldn't have that ongoing expense of something that you've essentially self-insured for. Sometimes these specialized insurance policies, Jackie, can be a little bit more costly than a general, life insurance policy. So you could buy a small, whole life policy if that's what you're looking for, with a very minimal amount just to cover burial. So you'd want to compare those. But do you really need it? I guess that's my question. Are there assets available that would cover the cost of funeral and burial expenses if you passed?
Yes. I do have that.
Okay, very good. Then I think this is an unnecessary expense at the end of the day. So I would do the pre-planning, and I'd make sure that those accounts or account that has the funds that would be used for burial-related costs have a beneficiary on them so that money is immediately available. But apart from that, I don't think you need this policy.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your call. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Oregon. Hi, Lynn. How can I help today?
Good morning, Rob. I have a question about a VA loan. I realize loans, or not a loan, I'm sorry, appraisal
Yes.
I realize they're based on comps or comparables that are run.
Right.
Does a VA loan have a different outcome, a different amount, because it is a VA loan versus a conventional VA appraisal versus a conventional appraisal?
Yeah, it's a great question, and the answer is yes. So VA loans, the reason they're attractive, if you have access to them, is because the requirements are less stringent than a conventional loan. So credit score, you can usually get down as low as 580, where a conventional may require 620. Doesn't require any down payment. I don't advise it, but that's possible. You can have a debt-to-income ratio that's lower than a conventional loan. They don't require private mortgage insurance. So there are a lot of lenient qualifications there, or at least more lenient than conventional loans. With regard to the appraisal, it's very similar. The only difference might be that with a VA appraisal, they tend to focus more on comparable sales with VA mortgages. Doesn't mean they won't use non-VA conventional mortgages as comparables, but they tend to focus more on the VA mortgage comparables. And so because of that, it may take you a little longer to get scheduled and complete a VA appraisal than a conventional appraisal. You'll certainly want to let them know it's for a VA loan. And then they also have something called an MPR, a minimum property requirement. And this just means that beyond the appraisal to establish the market value, they're going to look at, whether it's in property is safe and sanitary and structurally sound. So they're going to establish some basic standards for the home and its contents. Electrical and plumbing have to be in good condition, and roofs have to be defect-free, and basements have to be dry. So they have these additional requirements that may prohibit some homes, like a fixer-upper may not pass appraisal. And so, again, you're going to want them to know that it is for a VA. So at its core, it's the same idea in terms of the appraisal and its value and importance in the process. But there are some uniquenesses to an appraisal for a VA loan specifically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Is the value that they come up with, at the end of the appraisal, is the value going to be different because it's a VA appraisal versus a conventional appraisal?
It should be fairly close. It could be different. And the only reason would be is if, again, they're focusing on comparable sales with VA mortgages, they may exclude some comparables with conventional mortgages. And obviously the value is dependent upon their ability to find comparable properties to justify the value. And if you're working on a limited population of sales, you just don't have as many closed sales at your disposal. And therefore, that may, influence the appraisal in one direction or the other. So it is possible that it could vary just based on what comparables they're using and which ones they're excluding.
Okay. So not always higher, not always lower. It could vary a little bit.
That's exactly right. Just depending upon whether those comparable sales that they're using to justify their market value for the appraisal work in your favor or against you.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right. We appreciate your call today very much. Let's go to Georgia. Ron, thanks for calling. How can I help?
Bob, I appreciate your ministry there and your advice. I'm 66 and 6 months almost, I think, and dealing with Social Security. And I took my Social Security last year. I started in June of last year. So I'm within a year, and I'm thinking about withdrawing that and reapplying later, maybe in another few months, year or something, some period after I'm reach my full retirement age. So what's your advice in that, and what sort of drawbacks or anything that I may have some concern about?
Yes. Are you within 12 months of having started that benefit?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. So that's good news. You should be able to withdraw your claim for Social Security benefits if you do it within 12 months of the date you were first entitled to benefits and were not yet at full retirement age. So there's a form for that at SSA.gov. If you did that, you'd have to repay money you already received, including Social Security payouts, as well as payments the program made for you. And that could include, you know, Medicare premiums and payments made to a spouse or a child on the account. And you can only do that one time. The benefit would be that you're just letting that check continue to build. And if you're in a situation where you don't need the money, that could be really helpful because, you know, you love to have a higher check for the rest of your life, and waiting until at least full retirement age or even beyond that up to age 70 could give you a check 8% higher for every year you wait. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But I'm within like a month or so of being sick, my full retirement age. So,
okay. Yeah. I think the key would be just, you know, you're not going to have much of a difference, but if you were going to wait beyond full retirement age, you could have wait till age 70 and get 25% more. So I think you just need to determine, is it worth it? How much am I going to get, and how long am I going to delay, and factor all of that into your budget? Let's talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. It's our final segment. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, helping you apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles and passages that we see on money. By the way, there's 2,300 of them to your financial decisions, very practically. And so if you have a question today, we actually do have some lines open now. We didn't earlier in the broadcast. So if you've got a call right now, you can get right through. 800-525-7000. We'll probably have room for two or three more questions before we round out the broadcast today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Jason. How can I help?
Hey, Mr. Ron. I want to first thank you for all you do and the biblical advice you give on finances.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank the guy for the way he keeps the callers who are on hold updated on their holds.
Oh, well, I'm glad you called him out. That's Dr. Robert Youngblood, and he's a valued member of our team. He does a masterful job managing our callers.
I've been on hold a few different times, and this is the first time I've been walked through updates, and I think that's a great thing for the people who want to call in, and you get walked through it. But my questions, I have basically two, maybe three, but it's First, you had mentioned some verses about paying back debt, and I heard you read off the verses, but I didn't catch what those verses actually were. And then I'd also like to know how they reconcile with the parable about the master who forgave all the debt of one of his slaves. Mm-hmm. And then last, how that applies to student loan debt forgiveness.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great question. I think I mentioned the verse a moment ago, Psalm 37:21, which just reads, and depending on which translation or version you're reading, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and give. So that's Psalm 37, verse 21. Psalm 37, verse 21. Then there's also Proverbs 3:27 that tells us, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. And so I like that idea that we would, if we have the ability, we pay. And I think the minimum standard, according to Psalm 37, is that the wicked borrows and does not pay back. So we need to keep our vows. Now, with regard to student loan forgiveness, I mean, you'll often hear, you know, this cited as being equivalent to what we saw in the Shemitah, you know, but that's completely different than what we're seeing here with you know, the Biden administration's loan forgiveness. It seems like they've been on a mission on that. You know, with the Shemitah, it was every 7 years. It was pre-scheduled. It was in the law. It was not from the king. So it was predictable, and it certainly didn't have elements of political favoritism. And so, you know, I think, by the way, Jubilee, which is also cited here from Leviticus 25, was not about debt forgiveness. They were getting their ancestral land back, and they got out of debtor's prison. I think what we're experiencing here with these latest round of loan forgiveness measures from the Biden administration is it's not predictable. It's out of nowhere. It comes from the executive branch, so it would be kind of like the Babylonian emperor, you know, just decreeing that a debt would be forgiven for political or personal popularity, which is not equivalent to the Shemitah. It doesn't conform, therefore, to the biblical approach. It conforms more to the Babylonian approach, which is opposite. You know, Jesus talks about debt forgiveness, but, you know, it's not the same thing here. And, you know, with the parable of the unfaithful steward, you know, he was, you know, incompetently administering his role, and he does targeted debt forgiveness to gain favor for himself. The problem is, you know, it's not his money. It's his master's money. And neither the Old or the New Testament, in my view, are supportive of this. And so, you know, I'm not in agreement with what's happening here. I mean, we're, you know, it's not his money in the case of the executive branch to be able to offer this. It's the taxpayers' money. And at its core, it's certainly inflationary when you forgive debts. And it results in, you know, higher taxes, slower growth. You know, and it's going to require more money creation, which is inflationary. So I think, you know, we certainly need to heed the counsel of Scripture, and what we're seeing taking place here is certainly not in line with the biblical model, in my view. So hopefully that gives you some things to think about, Jason. We appreciate your call today, and thanks for giving that shout out to Mr. Youngblood there in our call screening room. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Diane. How can I help?
Yes, I inherited some coins from my mom, and I'm just wondering, you know, what is the best thing to do with those? One of them is a Krugerrand, and gold really is, you know, at a good price right now.
Yeah.
Recommend selling them. There's a place, there is a coin place in Ohio, in Columbus, which is where I am.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Well, what are your thoughts, Diane, just in terms of how this fits into your overall plan? I mean, I'll give you my take on it. I love the idea of us having a 5% allocation of our investable assets to gold. And I think for that 5% allocation, there's something to be said about having that in physical gold, where it's a forever allocation. You wouldn't look to sell it, you know, depending on the price of gold, up or down. You'd buy it and hold it for life. And, you know, if you wanted to pass it down, you could. And so depending on how this fits, I think you said it's about $10,000, how this fits into your overall plan, you may just want to keep it and put it in a fireproof safe or, and you know, at the bank or something like that, and just hang on to it. Now, if you did want to sell it, you're right. Gold is high right now. It's, you know, up near our highs. And you could find either somebody locally. I could give you a recommendation of a godly source to help you, a trusted source to help you get these sold. But I think it ultimately, whenever we're talking about buying or selling an asset, it should be looked at in light of our overall plan. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, my husband and I have, we don't have a good plan in place, written or anything for it to fit into, I guess, which makes it more challenging. And
okay.
So,
do you have retirement assets, Diane? Do you all have a 401k or IRAs or anything?
Yeah, we have IRAs and a couple of Roth. And
okay.
Yeah. And my husband has assets.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so I think, you know, you guys could talk through this. What is your ages? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, no. I'll be 62 in July. My husband will be 60.
Okay. And based on everything you know today, how long do you plan to continue to work in your current capacity?
Yeah, I'm not working for money.
Okay. All right. And,
you know, it's planning to work, I think.
Okay.
Not in, but
sure.
He's not fire.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I think you could look at this in light of an overall plan. Perhaps a next step, if you don't have an advisor, is to connect with an advisor to look at and develop a retirement plan for you all, just helping to give you, maybe ask some questions you haven't thought of, help you think in terms of how long do you plan to continue to work? What is your lifestyle going to look like in retirement? How much do you need to cover your expenses? You know, do you have the assets to do that? And, you know, that could drive how long you continue to work and save. And then obviously as a part of that, you could look at how this inheritance of gold coins fits into that. If you did decide to sell it, again, we could help with a resource there. But if you decided to hang on to it, I don't think that's a bad idea. I think, you know, having your assets diversified, that certainly comes from God's word in Ecclesiastes. And so that's something I would certainly support. But I think, you know, we don't want to make this decision in isolation. It probably needs to be in the context of a larger plan. So perhaps, you know, that's a next step. If you and your husband are open to that, if you would like to find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Ohio, you could just head to our website, faithfi.com, and just click find a professional at the top of the page. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you said it was somebody you could refer me.
Yeah, if you want to stay on the line, we'll get your information. I could send you some a list of some options there on who could be a trusted source to help you get these sold. So you just stay on the line, Mr. Youngblood there. We'll get your information and we'll get that right out to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Diane. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you and your husband. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Always a joy to be along with you. I'm grateful for the invitation you give us into your financial lives each day when you call and share your story and ask questions. It's a sure privilege to be able to walk alongside you, encourage you. And I hope that's one of the outcomes for today, is that you felt encouraged and uplifted, that, you know, as we take on this large responsibility, it's massive, of being a money manager for the King of Kings, we want to be found faithful. That's our goal. We want to make God our ultimate treasure, not the things of this world. They don't last. They don't satisfy. God alone is our abundance. But money is a good gift from God. We want to use it wisely. We want to spend it well, even enjoy it and give it to be a part of God's activity. And when we do, we experience blessing that follows. May not be financial, but there certainly is blessing when we give generously. Hey, let me mention, if you'd like to check out our FaithFi app, maybe you're having trouble staying on budget, you can download the app that Julie and I use to manage our finances called FaithFi on our website, faithfi.com. Just click app. And again, if you'd like to support our work, just go to faithfi.com and click give. Any gift of $25 or more, we'll put our new study, Rich Toward God, in the mail to you as our thank you. Hey, a big thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Dr. Robert Youngblood, and the rest of the team here at FaithFi. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.